right, I'll take it. Amen, amen. I got several portions of scripture. You can stand, you can sit, whatever you want to do. I'm going to jump on in here to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and I'm going to start at verse 62. Matthew 27, starting at verse 62. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, it's after they crucified him. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how this impostor," speaking of Jesus, "said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure unto the third day, lest his disciples go in and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Verse 28 of Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a deep faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come, see where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is risen from the dead, going ahead of you. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him. You will see Jesus there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasping his feet, and worshiped him. Now, John chapter 20, verses 3 through 9. This was after the disciples received that wonderful message. Peter and the other disciple, that is John, Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running. But the other disciple, that is John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wraps laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wraps laying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and laying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple, which was John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scripture that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Verse 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid for their life. Suddenly, here they are. They're gathered together Sunday evening. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, why don't we do that a little longer? Before you're seated, if you're standing, why don't we give the Lord a hand praise of thanks for giving us an ability, an opportunity to be set free. Hallelujah. 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 The title that God has given me as you are seated, the title that God has given me is this: He is still rolling away stones. He is still rolling away stones. Sister Franks, if you would pray before we move forward, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. He is still rolling away stones. Amen. For obvious reasons, a grave site, a burial place, a tomb is associated with sadness. Am I right? Now understand, I fully understand that when we lose a loved one, I want you to hear me, who was a Christian, a spirit-filled and led child of God, though we feel sorrow, though we feel sadness because we know where they are heading and because we know that their reward waits for them, because we know what we know, we can be comforted, and in a sense, we can even rejoice. I know it sounds crazy, but we can even rejoice, for they have made it. Amen. Now, I know and I understand that. However, because of our human nature, normally, when we think of a tomb or a grave, we think of loss, we think of hurt, we think of sorrow. We think of something that is closed off, no longer capable to be accessed. Are you hearing me? We think of something that is sealed up, shut up, sealed up. We think of death. We think that of the end of something or someone. That's what comes to our minds and our hearts in the natural. But I want you to hear me today. When it comes, I'm not going to just mess around. You, if you're waiting for me to get hot, here you go. When it comes to the tomb of Jesus Christ, oh, come on, somebody. When it comes to the tomb of our Savior, it doesn't represent, nor it should only be associated with sorrow, with pain, with heartache, with suffering, with loss, defeat, sadness, hopelessness, the end, or death. Amen. Oh, somebody say, how can you say that? It was sad what happened to him. How can you say that, Pastor? You're thinking, you're talking about Christ. How can you say that's not associated with those things? He was beaten, Pastor. He was beaten with a staff, a big rod, a stick in the head repeatedly. Worse than that, he was gruesomely beaten nearly to death with a whip called the cat o' nine tails. And the pastor, that whip was gruesome. It was awful. It had branches coming off of it and pieces of metal balls tied to it and hooks and pieces, even bone they would tie to it, designed to rip and pull the flesh. It was gruesome, Pastor. It was horrible what they did. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head, and he was severely bloodied. He was stripped of his clothing and mocked and ridiculed, and he was spat upon, and he was nailed to the cross. A spear was pushed through his side. He died and was placed in a sealed tomb. How can you say that it wasn't associated with all of the things you mentioned? How can you say that the tomb of Jesus Christ doesn't represent or shouldn't only be associated with pain and sorrow and suffering and loss and defeat and all those other things, death in the end? How? Why, Pastor? Well, child of God, I'll tell you how, and I'll tell you why right now. Because of this same thing that was foretold in the Word of God, in the early parts of the Word of God. Because of this reason, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds, by his stripes, by that beating he took, we are healed. And to top it all, oh, come on, somebody, are you glad about it? Come on, hear me today. By his stripes you are healed. He's wounded for your transgressions. Oh, hallelujah. And to top it all off, to put the icing on the cake, the stone that sealed him up, the stone that said he's dead, the stone that man said, this is over, we defeated him, has been rolled away. And I'm telling you, that's something to be excited about, because the God I serve isn't a God like any other. He is God. He lives. And because he lives, hallelujah, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I don't have to worry or fear. And that's why I can say what I said. Oh, come on, somebody, you hear me? The stone. Somebody say the stone. The stone has been rolled away. The grave is empty, Bishop. The grave is empty. Restoration, hope, peace, deliverance, life, and salvation has been released. For he's not dead. He's not dead. He is alive. He has risen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, where am I preaching? Oh, hallelujah. He's not dead, he's alive. Peace has been restored. Hope has been released because of who he is, because of what he has done. He is a risen Savior, and it is with his blood, you hear me? It is with his blood, through his sacrifice. He has paid the price for my sins. Listen, I could not make it. I could not, neither could you. We are hell-bound. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, nothing could save me but the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. And if for his blood and through his sacrifice, he paid atonement. He paid the price for our sins. He has conquered. I'm telling you, he is a conqueror. He's conquered the enemy. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is alive forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. I will rejoice. For he has set free. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. He has made a way. He has made a way where the enemy said there was no way. He has made a way when the enemy thought he had defeated him. He didn't know what was going to happen next. I'm glad I know what happened, aren't you? I'm glad I know what's going to happen, aren't you? Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus made a way for you and me. He made a way for us on Calvary's Hill. He made a way when the stone was moved. He made a way for us to not only be miraculously healed or made whole, but also be delivered, be set free, be empowered and filled with the life-giving Holy Spirit, and be saved. He made a way for me to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. The greatest gift. Oh, hallelujah. Child of God, he has made a way. How? Because he is not in a tomb. He's made a way because he's not defeated. He's the one who's defeating others. He has made a way, for he rolled away the stone and has given life eternal. Amen. He has made a way, for he has come out of the grave so that you and I could overcome. That's why he did it. He came out of the grave so that I can win. He came out of the grave so that you could overcome every circumstance in your life. He came out of the grave so that you can have an opportunity to be set free and given joy and strength and hope. Amen. So we could overcome this world and make it. I want you to hear me. Jesus himself has made a way. And I'm telling you right now, he is still making a way. Oh, come on. I don't think you're hearing me. Jesus has made a way, but he doesn't just make a way. He continues to make a way. When I fall and when I fail, guess what? Jesus is there. When I fall short, Jesus is there. When I mess up, Jesus is there. When I try my best and my best isn't enough, Jesus steps in and he's there. And because of who he is, I can win. Hallelujah. He is still rolling away, moving obstacles, moving things out of my way, out of your way. He's still making a way. He's still rolling away stones. Child of God, hear me. The tomb of Jesus Christ is not a place of defeat. The tomb of Jesus Christ is not a place of death, of sorrow, sadness, or negativity, because he has made a way.
because he has moved the stone and raised, it was raised from the dead. It is a place of hope. You hear me? It is a, oh, come on. Somebody needs some hope today. You need to hear me today. If you need hope, you're in the right place, because two or three have gathered together in his name. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst of us. And where he is, hope is. I'm here to tell you, he's made a way for me to have hope in a hopeless world. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. It is a place because he rolled away the stone, because he is alive forevermore. It is a place of restoration. It is a place of healing. It is a place of deliverance. It is a place of strength. It is a place of encouragement. It is, I feel that right there. Somebody needs encouragement today. I'm tired of telling you. I've got to tell you again and again and again. And I'll tell you over and over and over again. When you get down, when you get lowly, Jesus will give you encouragement. It's time for you to trust in God. He's rolled away the stone so that you can be encouraged in a place of discouragement. Amen. Amen. It is a place of encouragement. It is a place of empowerment. It is a miraculous place. Yes, it is. It is a supernatural place, Bishop. It is a place of the supernatural manifestation and power of a living God. There is no other living God. They can worship Buddha. They can worship Allah. They can worship dead old men, but they're just dead. They're nothing. But the God we serve, the God we praise, the God we sing to, the God we come to worship together, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And we are forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. 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 It is a place of the living God where the Spirit of God will flow. It is the spiritual, you hear me right now, it is a spiritual doorway. You don't have to go to the Holy Lands. Oh, come on, somebody. It is a spiritual doorway. It is a spiritual doorway to his promises and the holy things, the greater things, the deeper things of God. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me today? Oh, come on. I'm trying my best, Bishop. I'm trying my best. I'm telling you, God gave me a word, and the word is he's made a way, and it's time for us to trust in the way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb has been unsealed. The way has been made. The door has been opened. The door has been opened. I want to bring your attention back one more time to a portion of scripture that I read at the beginning of today's sermon, John chapter 20, verses 3 through 8. Peter and John, the other disciple, started out for the tomb. This is after they were told the news. They ran to the tomb, the Bible says. But the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He got there. Somebody say he got there. He reached the tomb first. He stopped. Boom. There's the tomb. He stopped. He looked in. And he saw the linen wraps laying there. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went on in. Simon Peter arrived and he went on in. He also noticed the linen wraps. He seen the same thing John seen. But he went in. He seen the linen wraps laying there. He also noted the wraps laying there while the cloth that had covered Jesus' face was folded up and laying apart from the other wrappings. Verse 8. Then the disciple, then John, who had reached the tomb first. Here we go. He also went in. He stepped in. He seen the same wraps that he's seen on the outside. He stepped in. And he saw and believed. He stepped in. He saw and believed. The Bible does not say, though he got there first, though his eyes seen the wraps first, though his eyes witnessed there was no body first, he did not, the Bible teaches us and shows us that he did not believe until he stepped in. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know. You might be tired. You might be ready for dinner or whatever the case may be. But I want you to pay attention here. He beat Peter there to the open door of the supernatural, to the wonderful promises and things of God. But he did not believe until he stepped in. Child of God, our Savior is still rolling away stones. He's still opening doors to eternal life, to the supernatural, and to the miraculous. I'm here to tell you, and I tell myself, do not be afraid to step into another realm. Do not be afraid to go a little deeper. Do not be afraid to step on in the door. Get in. Don't just get to the threshing floor. Don't just get to the door frame and not step in. God is telling you, sometimes we push and we push and we draw closer to God and closer to God, and we fight the enemy and we keep drawing closer to God, and we feel. Don't just get to a place where you see and you feel. Get to a place where you step in and have a greater experience. God don't want you to just get to the door. He wants you to, come on somebody. He wants you to step on in. Oh, hallelujah. Getting to the door is not enough. It may allow you to see. It may allow you to feel. But it may allow you to feel His presence. But the glory and power is beyond the door. The supernatural is beyond the door frame. Oh, come on, somebody. When you step in again, it is a whole new experience. I hope you're hearing me. Are you tired? Are you still listening? Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. He's waiting for me. He's waiting for you to quit stopping at the door and step on in, to quit stopping where we're comfortable and get into a place of uncomfortableness, get into a place where we're no longer comfortable in our praise and worship. Oh, come on, somebody. He's calling me. He's calling you. He didn't roll away the stone for us to stand and look in the door. He rolled away the stone so that we can have what He promised. Oh, hallelujah. When you step in, when I step in, when we step in, your eyes will see like John. Your eyes will see clearer. Your faith will arise and you will believe. You can't get there by looking on the outside. You got to get on the inside. Oh, come on, somebody. And your faith, when you get on the inside, your faith and your belief will bring the power of the Savior, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. It is your faith when you step in. It is your faith when you go beyond the door that will cause you to believe, and that brings the power of God. I want you to hear me. The stone wasn't rolled away for him to walk out. Oh, come on, you hear me? He rolled away the stone. He caused his angel to roll away the stone. God did that. Christ did that. He rolled away. He didn't roll away the stone for himself to come out. He rolled away the stone for his believers to step in. Oh, come on, somebody. He did it for us to move forward. He did it for us to grow. He did it for us to receive. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for me. He can go wherever he wanted to go. He could do whatever he wanted to do. Later on, you read in Scripture how they were there at Sunday evening. They're there by themselves. They're in fear. They're in a room locked away. And what happened, Bishop? He didn't knock on the door. Hey, the door's locked. Let me in. No. He just appeared. Why? Because he can go anywhere he wants. He can walk through anything there is. There is no thing. There is no barrier. There is no issue. He didn't. What I'm trying to say again is, he didn't open the gate. He didn't open the door. He didn't remove the stone for himself to be free and come out. He removed it for us to step in so that we could be free. Christian and new, just alike. We cannot, and we do too often, we cannot stop short. We cannot stop short. Don't get to the place where you feel, but don't step in. Stepping in, I want you to hear me. Stepping in could be as far as your car in the parking lot to the sanctuary. That could be stepping in. Stepping in could be from your pew to the altar. Well, come on. Stepping in, Brother Andy, could be knowing there's a baptistry of water and saying, today's the day. I'm going to step on in that watery grave of baptism. That could be stepping in. Stepping in could be as far as you getting into the baptistry. Stepping into a baptistry. Stepping in and getting buried with Him, with Christ in baptism. Just like the Bible teaches us. That could be stepping in. Are you hearing me? Don't check out. Don't check out. Time for us to step in. Stepping in could go, listen to me, apostolic. Stepping in could go beyond shallow praise, worship, and prayer, and entering into intercession, deep, genuine expressions of praise and worship. I'm here to tell you today, praise and worship isn't silent. Stepping in could go to another level with our worship and praise and prayer. Listen to me, He's still rolling away stones. You believe that? He's still opening doors for His glory and for His power of the miraculous. We've just got to step in. He's done His part. Listen to me. You need a miracle today? Oh, that's bold. You need a miracle. Then you need to step in. You hear me? You need strength, you need to step in. You need encouragement, then you need to step in and get off the door frame. You need healing, you need hope, you need peace, you need your joy restored, you need restoration, you need refreshing in His Spirit, you need deliverance, you need the Holy Ghost to minister and move and dwell in your life, your mind and your heart, then guess what? You need to step on in. He rolled away the stone so that you can have what He promised. Oh, come on, are you here? Somebody say it's time to step in. It's time for me, it's time for you, it's time for the people of God to put the devil on notice. I've not preached too long. Stay with me, stay with me. It's time for us to put the devil on notice. It's time for us to put this world and the people thereof on notice. It is time for us to encourage and put one another on notice that Jesus is the King of Kings, that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, that Jesus is the I Am, that Jesus is the Almighty Conqueror, that Jesus is the Everlasting Father, that Jesus is the All in All, that Jesus is still making a way, rolling away stones, and still giving life, hope, and restoration to all who believe. Amen. He's still moving, ministering powerfully, abundantly, and miraculously to His people in every situation. I want you to hear me. I'm almost done. Because He has rolled away the stone, unsealed the tomb, the answer to your problem, the answer to your problem is unsealed. It's not sealed up. The peace to your storm isn't sealed up. Your deliverance from captivity isn't sealed up. The way out of your situation isn't sealed up. For the way, the truth, the life, the healer, the deliverer, the savior of the world is not sealed up. He moved the stone away. And I'm here to tell you, he's still rolling away stones. There is no obstacle in your life. There is no wall too great. There is no stone too deep. There is nothing that can hinder you. There is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. Why? Because he's still rolling away stones. He's still moving obstacles out of our way because he has come out. Listen to me. You can enter in. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too great for the Lord. He can do it all. There's people in here, all of us have something in our lives we need God to intervene in. We need strength. We need encouragement. We need peace. We need refreshing. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is speaking right now and telling you. Jesus is trying to get the message across to you that it is available to you. You don't have to wait to be healed. You don't have to wait to be forgiven or delivered. You don't have to wait to be encouraged or refreshed. You don't have to wait. God's already rolled away the stone. There's nothing too great for God to move out of our way from growing closer to him. Thank you.